You're listening to the weekly Parshah podcast with Ari Goldwag, recorded with Hashem's never-ending assistance in Ramah Beit Shemesh, Israel 5784, 2024. This week's Parshah is Parshas Vayikra. We begin a brand new Sefer. It's also Parshas Zachar. We're going to read about the obliteration of Amalek. And it's going to be Purim, Matzi Shabbos Sunday, and in Jerusalem on Monday as well. Vayikra El Moshe, our Parshah begins that Hashem called out to Moshe after the past 5 weeks we've been speaking about the construction of the Mishkan, the Tabernacle, the Beis HaMikdash. What's the first thing that happens once it's constructed? Hashem calls to Moshe. Moshe is the leader of the Jewish people. He's also the individual who incorporates all of the Jewish souls into himself. Hashem calls to him, Vayidaber Hashem elav me'ol moed lemor. And henceforth, whereas previously Hashem would speak to Moshe in a personal place, not from a public place, from now on, Moshe Rabbeinu, his experience of God's word will be from the Ohel Moed, from the tabernacle, from that place that the Jewish people as a whole all contributed in order to create. Now, why is it, of all people that Hashem calls to Moshe Rabbeinu, why is it that Moses is the first one that is called from the Ohel Moed? And I'll mention that we find that all of the Nevi'im, all the prophets, would obtain or receive their prophecy by focusing or by receiving through the Keruvim. Hashem speaks from between the Keruvim, the cherubs, which are on the Aron. So why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu was the first one? What about Aaron? What about Miriam? There are other Nevi'im. There was Eldad and Medad. Why is it that Moshe is the first one? And we'll see that it very much connects to the Megillah, to the story of Esther. The Medrash tells us like this. This is in the beginning of the Medrash of Vayikra, the first parsha, Simen Hei, the fifth section in the middle. It says like this. Magbi la shaves amashpi lerois. Hashem raises up the one who is low. We have a general principle that who is it that Hashem reveals himself to? The one who lowers himself. We find that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was at the burning bush, so he hid himself. He saw the vision of the burning bush. He said, let me hide my eyes. It's something that's impossible. It's a spiritual thing. Not something that I should look at. He thought of himself as perhaps not worthy. The Pasuk says that Hashem says to Moshe, I want you to go and I will send you to Pharaoh. So the word lecha is written lamed chaf hey. There's an extra letter. Amar Abelazar, hey b'seif tevoisa. Why is there an extra hey at the end of the word, says Rabbi Lazar? Loimar she'imena tegoyalam ein acher goyalam. The word lecha can mean go, but because it has a hey at the end, it can also be read as lecha, you. You are the one. You are the only one, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu. If you don't go, there will be no one else to redeem them. Vayom, Amad Leimen Atzad, it says, the Medrash says, that at the sea, at Yam Suf, as the Jews were about to experience the most incredible miracle, the splitting of the sea, Moshe Rabbeinu stood on the side. Hashem said to Moses, and you, raise up your staff and split the sea. Hashem said, you have to do it, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moses, you are the only one who will do this miracle. You must be the one to do it. You are the one who's going to split the sea. B'sinai Amad Leman Atzad, again, Moshe Rabbeinu has a pattern. Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, is a humble person. He stands on the side. At Har Sinai, at Mount Sinai, he didn't know that he was the one who was supposed to go up and receive the Torah, according to the Medrash. Amar lo yalei el Hashem. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you go up. It's not going to be Aaron. It's not going to be Miriam. It's not going to be the Zikain and the elders. You are to go up and to receive the Torah from Hashem. But Oyel Moed Omad Lemenatzad, the same thing happened. Excuse me, when Moshe Rabbeinu put up the Ohel Moed, he put up the tabernacle. He stood on the side. He said, who will receive the Nevuah? Who will receive the prophecy from God? Who will be the recipient of God's revelation now? Amar LaHaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ad Mase Ad Mashpil Atzmacha. Pasuk says, HaMagbil HaShos Mashpili L'Rois. HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifts up the one who lowers himself. Hashem says, it's enough of this lowering of yourself. Ein Hashem Etzapa Ela L'cha. This moment is waiting only for you. You are the one who needs to step up and receive the prophecy. Teda L'cha Shukain Shemikulan Laikara Hadibur Ela L'maisha. We need to know that this is true because of all the people that Hashem called to at the very beginning of the tabernacle's existence, who did he call to first? It was to Moshe, to Moses. Vayikra el Moshe. That's the meaning of the pasuk that says that God called out to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, and of course, you know, if we think about it, first of all, each one of us is called. Each one of us is called. We'll see what that means and how that plays out. But each one of us is called by Hashem to do our particular, our individual tikkun in the world, our rectification in the world, who we are. No one else can be who we are. Each one of us has unique talents, unique abilities, unique combination of which makes up our personality. And we need to know that we are the one who needs to stand up. But beautifully, the Medrash is telling us that Moshe Rabbeinu, why was he lifted? He was lifted because he knew how to lower himself. He didn't see himself as the end all, the be all, the center. Doesn't mean that he didn't know who he was, but it does mean that he was a humble person. He was the Anav Mikol Adam. Now I'd like to think about this in terms of Esther Hamalka, right? And also in terms of Haman, we want to destroy Haman Amalek. We want to destroy this week as Parsha Zachar. Who is Haman Amalek? He's the one who says everyone has to bow to me. And if one person doesn't bow to him, nothing's worth anything. So he's the opposite of this aspect. And then there's Esther. Esther who goes in to the king. She doesn't take anything except what Hegai recommends. She's not trying to win the king's favor. She's not trying to win the throne, to be the big winner. She's a humble person. She does exactly what Mordechai says. She has no feeling or sense inside of herself that she's the one who knows that she's better than anybody. Esther Amalka, Mordechai says to Esther, "Mi yadem le'eis kazeis yigat l'malchus." Right, and although the simple understanding is Hashem will send the geula from wherever He wants to, but Mordechai is saying to her, "You got to go in now. You're the one. It's clear. You're the one who has access to the king. You are the one who can save the day, so to speak." So just like Hashem says to Moshe, "You are the one. If you don't do it, if you don't redeem them, who's going to redeem them?" Mordechai says to Esther, really? He says it in a reverse way. I don't want to call it reverse psychology, but he says it in a inverted way. He says that if you don't do it, so the gula will come from somewhere else. But really he's saying to her, you have to do it. You have to be the one to do it. You are the chosen one. Everything has led up to you being the redeemer. Just like when we look at Moshe Rabbeinu, everything led up to him being the Redeemer, all of his background, all of his life, being raised in the palace, coming from Amram, being the son of Yocheved. So this all led to Moshe being the chosen one who had been raised for this greatness. So too Esther, the Megillah tells us about her background, how she grew up with Mordechai. She was a unique individual. We could compare her, I'm not going to, but we could compare her to Yosef HaTzadik. Okay. There's a lot to say about this matter, but I want to share with you a medrash in Medrash Rabbah Esther in the Megillah. And the medrash teaches us something very interesting, and I want to tie it back to Moshe Rabbeinu, and we'll see together soon. But first, Rabbi Kiva Hayo Yoshev Adarish, the medrash tells us It's a famous medrash. Rabbi Akiva was speaking to his students. He was teaching them. And the students were dozing off. The topic perhaps wasn't the most exciting topic to his students. He wanted to wake them up. So he said something which was very surprising, something unusual. Why did Esther merit to be the queen over 127 provinces? This is what God says. Tovai Esther bito shel Sarah. Let Esther, who is the great great granddaughter of Sarah Imenu, where else do we see the number 127? Sarah Imenu lived 127 years. Esther, who is the great great granddaughter of Sarah Imenu, who filled her 127 years with tzidkus, with righteousness, with greatness. Let Esther, who is the offspring of that great tzaddikus, come. V'timleich al sheva v'esmer me'a medina. And let her come and rule over 127 provinces. So, this is the Medrash. Ve'ena Medrash amr eladar sheni. Right? The Medrash requires explanation. What is the idea here? What does the 127 years of Sarah have to do with Esther being the ruler over 127 provinces? What is the concept? So, in trying to understand this, the Maharzu gives us a reference. He says, I want you to see a Medrash in Parshas Lech Lecha, which speaks of a comparison of Esther not to Sarah, not only to Sarah, but also to Avraham Avinu, to Abraham. But before I read that, I just want to, for a little bit of explanation, mention what some of the Mefarshim say on this Medrash, the first Medrash. And that is that Esther, as we're going to see, Esther, how old was she when she became the queen? You know what, let's read this Medrash first. Vayelech Avram kasher diber elav Hashem. Hashem commands Avraham to go, and Avraham does as Hashem tells him. V'Avram ben shivim v'chamesh shonim. The pasuk tells us that Avram was 75 years old when he left from his land, when he left his father's house, and when he traveled to Eretz Yisrael, to the land of Israel, he was 75 years old. Hado dechsiv. Vayi oimen es hadasa. He Esther. The manager says this parallels another person, Hadassah, Esther. Hadassah is one name for Esther. Esther is the other name. Now, what does it mean in parallels Esther? So let's think about things, okay, for a moment before we dive in here. Avram, when he leaves his land, moves to Eretz Yisrael at the command of Hashem, he is now entering a stage of geula in a certain sense. 75 years old, he ends up living to be 175, so he's in the prime of his life, he's in the middle of his life. And he's told to go to the land of Israel. Every step that he takes in Israel is going to end up belonging, every piece of land that he steps on will belong to his children, grandchildren, to the Jewish people. So there's an aspect of geula, of redemption. Now there's another person who a redemption occurred at the age of 75. Let's see. Rav Amar Bas Mem Hoysa. Rav says that when Esther became the queen, when she went to the palace, she was 40 years old. Shmuel Amar Bas Shmoinim Shana. Shmuel says she was 80 years old. Rabbanan Amri Bas Shivim V'Chamishon. The sages say she was 75. Okay, so this doesn't sound like what we would think when we read the story. Achashverosh is collecting beautiful young ladies. We would think that Esther was a beautiful young lady, which she was, as we'll see, no matter what age she was. But the Midrash tells us, according to Shmuel, she was 80. According to the rabbis, she was 75. Now, how do we get 75? Which, of course, is the same age that Avraham was when he left his family's home, when he came to Israel. Rav Brachi b'shem Rabbanan d'Taman Amar, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Le'Avram, Atayat Sasim Beis Avicha Ben Shivim V'Chamisha. Rav Brechia says, Hashem says to Abraham, you left your father's house when you were 75. Chayecha Af Goyel Shani Mame Mimcha Yeh Ben Shivim V'Chamisha Shonim Keminin Hadasa. There's going to be, God is saying to Abraham, in a future time there's going to be a Redeemer who will come to redeem the Jewish people. She's going to be 75 years old. The minion, the gematria of Hadassah, the word Hadassah, which is her name, Esther's name, Hadassah, gematria 75, says the Medrash. Okay, if we look at it carefully, Hadassah is actually 74. But we find in gematria there's also something called the Kailel, which means you can add one for the word itself, which is the all-inclusive aspect. But the Mefarshim also explained that Esther was 74 when she was brought to the palace, and it was a full year until she actually became queen. So that gives you 75. Now, what does this mean? Esther Amalka, the beautiful queen, she's 75 years old when she comes in there. So the Mefarshim say something amazing. They say something beautiful. They say that just like we saw in the first Medrash, that why did Esther have 127 provinces? Because Sarai Menu lived 127 years. Why was she 75 when she became the queen? Because Avram Avinu was 75 when he became the Goyel, became the redeemer of the Jewish people. He went to the land of Israel. What is it really saying? It's really saying something even deeper than it seems on the surface. It's saying that Sarah Imenu, we know that she was somebody who is, when she was 90 years old, she became young again. She went back to being her younger self, miraculously. Why? Also, Sarah Imenu, she was the one whose child Yitzchak would be the beginning of the Jewish people. In order for the Jewish people to start, there had to be a miracle. Sarah Imenu was the one who, when Avram was 100, Sarah was 90, she went back to being young again. So too, says the Mefarshim, so too, Esther, when she was 75, she was too old. She shouldn't have been taken. Maybe she was beautiful for a 75-year-old. But she went back to being young, just like Sarah. That was the miracle that was needed in order for the Jewish people to have their geula, to have their redemption. Avram Avinu, think about it. Abraham, at 75 years old, he's going to leave the place where he grew up. He's going to leave his father's home. He's going to leave his accustomed land. And he's going to enter a brand new culture and try to acclimate there in the land of Israel. It's not so easy. He becomes young again. Avram also becomes young again. So when we say that Esther is like Avraham and like Sarah, we're saying that the Geula comes to the Jewish people in a rejuvenation, in a way that shows rejuvenation. But perhaps we could say another aspect, another idea. The Marzu here refers to a Medrash later on, which I'm not going to read inside, but the Medrash talks about Yehuda and Tamar. We know Yehuda ended up with his daughter-in-law through a whole series of events, in the middle of the story of Yosef. Not going to get too involved with it, but the Medrash tells us that Tamar was the daughter of Shem. She was the daughter of Shem ben Noach. And she was a righteous woman. She knew that she needed to bring about this union in order for the future Mashiach to be born. It's not our topic. That's not what I want to talk about. But what the Medrash, or the Mefarshim there, point out, they speak about the fact that it couldn't be that Tamar was actually the direct daughter of Shem. Because Shem passed away when Yaakov was 50. Yaakov was 50, that's 60 to 70 years before Yehuda was even born. Then Yehuda had to be born, get married, have kids himself that would marry Tamar. It's way too far. So either it means that Tamar was miraculously rejuvenated in some similar way to what we're talking about here, Or the Mefarshim explain that it's not saying that she was literally the child of Shem, but rather she was Mizera Zari Shel Shem. She was from the seed, the offspring of Shem. Now, what is the significance of that? Why am I telling you this? What's the importance of it? But what I want to bring out from there is that we see that, what does it mean that Tamar is from the offspring of Shem? What does it mean? It means that, as we spoke about in the weeks past, the person is the product of those who come before me. The person is the product of all of their experiences, but not just their own experiences, their parents, their grandparents, their great-grandparents, etc. There's a process that goes into making who we are, making us become the person that we are. And that process, the fact that she's called the daughter of Shem, Tamar is the daughter of Shem, means that she is somebody who, she still has the aspects of Shem that were given over from Shem to Shem's child, to that person's child, ultimately to Tamar. And so the expression, Tamar is the daughter of Shem, represents that she is somebody who's part of a process, who's the culmination of a certain aspect of that process, who produces, really, Geula, the redemption, the birth of the great-great-grandfather of Mashiach, of David HaMelech, King David, etc. Now let's bring that thought back to Esther and Moshe. Was Esther literally 75 years old? I don't know. I have no problem with understanding the Medrash to be literal and understanding it to mean that she was rejuvenated. That's not what it says in the Medrash explicitly, but that's how the Mefarshim explained it. But perhaps we could say another understanding based on what we see with Tamar. That when we say, and this is actually something that one of the Mefarshim brings down, that when we say that Esther was 75, it means that there was a process that had begun 75 years before she became king. That was when Mordechai went into exile. He went with the Jewish people into exile 75 years before. They were exiled right before the destruction of the first temple. And so the beginning of the exile starts, and the process begins, the seeds are planted in the exile for the ultimate redemption. So when we say that she's 75, it doesn't have to necessarily mean literally, although it could, it doesn't literally have to mean that she's 75. It could mean that she's becoming the queen in the 75th year of the process of Geula, of redemption. Just like Tamar, it's not literally the daughter of Shem, but she is a product of the process that started with Shem. Also, this could be the explanation of when we say that Yocheved was 130 when Moshe Rabbeinu was born. It could also be understood to mean that she, the process which would bring about the Geula, which was Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, the process began already at the time of the beginning of the exile. The redemption was already planted. The concept of redemption, the seed of redemption was planted already before. When we say that Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem says to him, you are the only one who can be Goyal. You are the only one who's the Redeemer. You are the only one, what it really means is, everything that I've done until now has been to produce this exact situation so that you, Moshe, would redeem the Jewish people, you would split the sea, and you would be the one to receive the Torah for the Jewish people and bring it to them. Everything that went into your personal life and the life of your parents and the life of your grandparents and great-grandparents, etc., everything has been done to bring us to this point. That's what Hashem says. If you don't do it, no one else will do it. Esther Hamalka, Mordechai says to her, Mi oidem le'ez kazois, higat l'malchus, who knows if this was the moment why you became the queen. What he's really saying is, everything that I experienced, I brought you up. I taught you to be the tzaddikus, the righteous individual that you are. Everything that's gone on in your life started when I went into Gullus, when I went into exile with the Jewish people. And we know that the seed of redemption is planted at the beginning of the exile. So who knows? What he was really saying is not who knows, but more like it's absolutely clear the reason that you're there is to be the Goyal. No one else is going to do it except for you. There's a rejuvenation also in this idea, because what it's saying is The seeds that were planted so many years before, 75 years before, are now finally bearing fruit, are now about to be revealed, are now about to spring forth in all of their glory. That, I think, is the pshat, or one understanding of what the Medrash is trying to teach us. And I think that it's true for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us has our life experiences. Each and every one of us looks for a geula, redemption, in our personal lives and also in the lives of the entire Jewish people. And I think it's also very interesting that the number 75 is something which we're looking at right now. From the time that the Jewish people stood up in their country 75 years ago until now, and we're at what seems to me to be a point of redemption, of transformation, of taking that old Esther Amalka, Lahavdil. Esther was 75 years old, like Asari Imenu was 90, who looked so old. The country of Israel, in a certain sense, it has an old mindset, a secular mindset, that's about to be transformed and become new and young again, with the beautiful influx of more and more frumkeit, more and more connection to Yiddishkeit. Look at all the soldiers putting on tefillin, look at all the soldiers putting on tzitzis, look at all the interest, all the bali tshuva, all of those who are, you know, coming back. Look at the amount of Torah learning that's going on in the Holy Land. And you see a rejuvenation at the age of 75, which at the same moment of rejuvenation, as in the story of Esther, there's a moment of danger, a moment of a threat of destruction. But at the same exact moment is when the Jewish people transform. Kimu v'kiblu. They reaffirm their connection to Torah. They reaffirm their connection to God, to spirituality, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to bless you. I ask you to bless me. Hashem should help us, that we should be able to recognize all the things that have gone into our personal lives. Hashem should help us to reach our own personal redemption, and also be able to see the national redemption of the Jewish people. B'mehera, b'yameinu. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful Shabbos and a very joyous Purim. This podcast was made possible through the gracious donations of listeners like you. For more podcasts like this, please visit www.arigoldwag.com or search on iTunes, Ari Goldwag.